Well, we're in this back-to-school season, right? And we've been talking about back-to-school, and we've had some amazing teachers share over the last few weeks. And I don't know, I shared earlier, but somebody asked me if I was going to be any good this week. Teachers had been so good, they told me I better come really ready to go. So I've really been practicing this week. So anyway, we'll see how it goes. But starting school, you know, is a season. People are talking about it. People on the news are talking about going back to school. People are talking about the challenges that kids are having going back to school. A lot of parents, do you know that a lot of money is spent on the going back to school effort? I know you're probably unaware of that and all that kind of stuff, but a lot of money is spent. It's one of the big times, man. They really market all that. You need stuff going back to school that you don't need at all, according to the commercial market of the day. But it's a dreaded time for some, right? Any students in here going, yeah? It's okay for you to say that, but no educator would ever say that. It was a dreaded time, you know, but no. But there are the things, you know, that I've collected, that funny things that have started happening on these first few days of school in our own church congregation and on the internet. I went outside and looked for a few funny things that have been happening. And one of them that was on the third day of school, a mom was so busy and she got the times confused on the bus. You know, the bus changed times. And for the first 2 days, she was really good. But on the third day, she sort of lost a grip on it. And she went out the door with her first grader and her kindergarten kid to get to the bus stop. And she thought she was 6 minutes early and she was 1 minute late. So the kids were disappointed, but she drove them to school, and that made them happy because they're in first and kindergarten, right? If they were a little older, they'd be like, we don't need to go. We're all right. So anyway, but she's hopeful. They've been talking about it a lot, how mom got them to school late, got them to the bus stop late. She's hoping by junior high that they forget that, all right? And she gets on the back the good mom list, the great mom list. All four kids were late on the second day in one household here in our congregation. All four kids were late on the second day of school to the bus stop, all right? There was young one man who got so interested in a book, not a video game, but a book, going into junior high, that he got so absorbed by it that he only had 15 minutes to get ready to school and get there, and he was on his own, and he had to take his bike and walk and run real fast to get to class, and he really beat the tardy bell getting into the classroom. Isn't that great? He's awesome. Yeah, really good for him. All right. Buses pick kids up late that are on their first day of school. You know, did anybody have a late pickup first day of school? Yeah, just a few. Okay, yeah, had late pickups and that kind of thing. One lady shared something that happened in their family a few years ago, but they forgot to take that, you know, that wonderful picture of the first day of school where you stand in front of the door with the backpacks on, you know, and it's this elementary kid, and you forgot to take that picture in the morning. So they're very distraught and said, you know, how am I going to do the scrapbook thing? I'm just going to scrap it all if I can. No, they didn't say that. But anyway, so they tried to recreate that picture. And so they got but they have a strong-willed child and wasn't very cooperative with it. And so the child said, well, I will not do it unless I can stand in front of the overflowing trash can and not smile. And then I will wear my backpack. And there she did. And the mom said, choose your battles. This is going to be great at her graduation pictures. When you do that PowerPoint thing, you know, you roll those pictures. Or maybe at her wedding. Won't that just be great? Well, anyway, I think it will be. One kindergartner, they put him on the wrong bus, you know. And another one fell asleep in the back of the bus on his way home. And so the bus driver gets to the end of his stop and parks the bus, and they always walk the bus to see there. Well, he found a little kindergartner in the back row of the bus, sound asleep, woke him up, and said, what's your name, bud? You know, and he told him his name, says, do you know where you live? And he said, no. One little girl met a friend, you know. She met a friend for the first day, and she was so excited about it, talked to him on the bus all the way home, but you know, riding on a bus, sometimes you're not used to it. You get a little motion sickness. Well, she did, and lost her lunch all over her new friend. All kind of things happen as the beginning of school gets started. And in our community, we're very much on the rhythm of going back to school because 75% of the homes in our community are raising children. So going back to school is a part of the rhythm of life of our community and most of your homes. We need supplies for our kids to begin for the school year. How many got new clothes for your kids for the deal, you know, going back to school? Any new clothes? All right. How about new shoes? One family in our church, they got new shoes for their kid and they lost them before they got to the first day of school. Yeah, they were little, so they had to wear the old shoes. It was quite, I don't think mom was too happy. Their haircuts, their dental appointments to get them in to get their teeth cleaned before they get back to school. And then there's those physicals that they got to have before they go back to, or that vaccination or whatever. They need to get back to school. In our house, we don't have any kids that are going back to school, but my wife Patrice is a school teacher. Therefore, we're still on the rhythm of going back to school. She has to go back and get those bulletin boards ready and get back and get everything all lined up. And I want to say thanks to all of our educators, everybody that has anything to do with the education of our children in our community, you rock. Can we give them a hand? And the context of our scripture in Luke 13 this morning is in a time of life, a season of Israel's calendar year, as people are preparing for Passover. It's a time of new beginnings. It's a time of forgiveness. It's a time of atonement. When people assess how they have been doing, what kind of forgiveness they need from God, and how they plan to live their next 12 months until the next Passover season and next Passover. So Jesus was most likely traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem when the occurrence of Luke 13 happened. He was on his way to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And this is my speculation, but that they were on their way and, you know, there weren't like Motel 8s along the way. It was just like campsites and you just stopped and it wasn't like KOA. It was just like, there's the ground, there's a nice tree, and people have stayed there before, so there you go. Have a good time, you know. And so people would stay and just right there in under the tree as people were traveling down to Jerusalem from the north of Israel and Galilee, they would make that trip down to Jerusalem. And so I imagine this in my mind, the scripture doesn't tell us, but that Jesus had stopped there for an overnight and people were gathered there, other people were gathered there. And so they gathered around a campfire and they were all chatting around the campfire that evening as they were on their way to Jerusalem, and the idea came up about current events. Now, you know, that's what people do when they get together. You start, how's the weather? Good. It's going to be rain? I don't know. Do you hear in the news that, right, that's sort of how our conversations begin. And often we are talking about relevant current events in our life, and that seems to be where the conversation begins, around the campfire and Jesus with his fellow travelers on their way to Jerusalem, and possibly these Galileans, all of them, on their way to Jerusalem. It's a very relevant conversation for them, and it was full of unexpected tragedy. And often that's the conversations of current events, unexpected tragedy that have come up in life. One gentleman spoke up, and in Luke 13 we would see that he said, you know, and maybe it was a gentleman, maybe it was a lady, I don't know. But we hear the person saying, have you heard about that terrible, terrible Roman governor Pilate? Did you hear what he did to those Galileans? While they were in church, while they were in the temple making sacrifices, he went in, had them killed, mixed their blood with the sacrifices they were offering. We're Galileans. We're on our way to Jerusalem. Did you hear about that, Jesus? What do you think? That's a tough spot. And you're like, I don't know. Let's pray about it. Jesus didn't respond. You would like for Jesus in a moment like that to respond, right? You would really like for him to say something right there, but he didn't. Jesus, I don't think, was in the one-up you kind of game or anything like that, but he said, well, let me tell you one. Have you heard about that tower that either wasn't built very well, or there was an earthquake, or there were too many people around it that in Jerusalem that fell at Siloam, the Tower of Siloam, that it fell and killed 18 people? Did you hear about that natural disaster, so as to speak? Did you hear about that, guys? I don't know how they responded. The scripture doesn't tell us. But it sounds like current events. Some people's lives were taken, and then there were accidental things that happened, and people lost their lives. But Jesus focuses the attention not to the current event and the resolution of injustice and the resolution of these accidents that would happen. But he focuses the attention on the big question is, regardless of how we leave this world, the big question is, did they know Jesus? Did they have a relationship with God? Guys, that's sad. That's sad. That's terrible. But the bigger grief is if they didn't know God. This is the bigger grief, and Jesus brings them back to the big question. The loss of life is terrible. Whether by natural causes, by accidents, by murder. It's terrible. But did they know Christ? Is the bigger question that Jesus posed to them. Did they have a relationship with God? We talk a lot about current events around kitchen tables, around coffee shops and church lobbies. And they're great conversations, and we should have them. We talk about storms and weather and fires in the Amazon, and those are all critical things. We talk about the violence in our world that's raging out of control, it seems, and the anger and hatred toward people, and we must do something about it, and we must be vigilant. Here in Illinois, we talk a lot about taxes. Some laugh, some moan. It's a subject. On a lighter side, we also talk about, when will 34 be open from Orchard to 47? They tell us by the end of the month, but they told us by the end of November last year. But anyway, don't you just want to go out there and move those orange barrels and drive on that new side? I do. I just want to. I'm glad I don't have a big truck. I'm glad I don't. You just see what happens, you know. But they say it's going to happen. They say it's going to happen by the end of next month. There's a big game coming up I'm excited about. Yeah, right. On a few Thursdays away, not this Thursday, but the next Thursday, right? It's going to be fun. It's going to be the opening of the Packer-Bear thing. It's going to be really fun. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. You know, there are things that are a part of our current conversation that we're talking about, but those aren't the big questions. Those aren't the big issues. The big issue is that, is everybody going up and down 34? Do they know Jesus? Our hearts need to be compassionate. Do my friends know Christ? Because this is the biggest question. But whether we leave this world in an accident, by natural causes, or by a natural disaster, we don't know. But are our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do we have a right relationship with God? Are we following Jesus? These are the things that are the big questions. These are the eternal questions. Not who will win the game on the fourth, but who will run the race to the end, and win the prize of eternal life with Jesus Christ. Those are the big questions. And Jesus refocuses the conversation and said, let's look at the big questions. It's not about the unexpected tragedies that occur in life. That's not the biggest question. The biggest question is, did they know Jesus? And personally, as I started studying the scripture, I was a little disappointed with me. Because we've heard a lot about mass shootings and things like that over the last few years, and it seemed to be increasing, or I don't know. It's just a sad thing that's happened in our culture and in our society. What do we do? I don't necessarily have the solution. We must do something. We must try. It's a hard issue at the core. But the thing about it is I guess I think more about that than I do about, did the people who lost their lives know Jesus? I may not be able to do much about all the controls and all the laws and all the things that are needed, but one thing I can do is I can pray that everyone will know Christ. I can proclaim the message of Jesus Christ everywhere I can, at every possible opportunity. I can share Jesus. I can share His love and His joy and His peace. Some things are outside my control, but that is well within my control. I thought about the temporal, and I didn't think about the eternal, and I was a little disappointed in me. Certainly, we must be active about bringing justice to the world, and scriptures tell us to be active about it. Certainly, we need to be active about making sure we have good laws in place so people don't build things that are going to fall over on people. And thank God we do have those, but they need to continue to increase. But Jesus here says, you know, all those things are okay, but what was the big thing? Is did the 18 people in Jerusalem, did they have a good relationship with God? Did the Galileans in Jerusalem, did they have a good relationship with God? Had they repented? Had they accepted God? Were they forgiven? That's what Jesus was talking about. And in the context of that conversation, Jesus shares a parable. It's a parable from Luke 13, from the New Testament. It's a parable we're probably familiar with, and I read it from the Message translation of the Bible. And in this translation, they use apple rather than fig. Okay? They use an apple tree rather than a fig tree. All right? So that's just the difference in those versions. Because how many of you know what an apple is? Good. You weren't very committal, but anyway, good. Applesauce? I don't know. But how many of you have ever picked a fig? Okay, we got like two or three people who pick. It's not as common. So the Message tries to make it as applicable to life as possible. So this is what the Message translation of Luke 13 says of this parable. Then Jesus told them a story. A man had an apple tree planted in his front yard, and he came to it expecting to find apples. Not strawberries, but apples. But there weren't any. And he said to his gardener, "What's going on here? For 3 years now, I've come to the tree expecting apples, and not one apple have I found. Chop it down. Why waste good ground with it any longer?" The gardener said, "Let's give it another year. I'll dig around it and fertilize, and maybe it will produce next year. If it doesn't, then chop it down." The unfruitful tree was given this unexpected, undeserving gift of grace. After 3 years, it didn't deserve to continue covering the ground, and yet it got another 12 months to bear good fruit. A fruit tree naturally bears good fruit if the conditions are right. There was only one time in life that we've had a lot of fruit trees in our yard, and that was when we lived in Colorado. We had about five or so apple trees in the backyard. Colorado was a unique place. Those trees tried to bear fruit every year. They tried so hard. It was a natural outcome of their life. They would bloom out, and on May 19, one time we had 8 inches of snow. All the blooms froze. We had 12 apples on our five trees, all of them. There's just enough to make one Thanksgiving apple pie. that was all our goal, just to have enough apples out of the backyard to make Thanksgiving pies, you know. Some years we had to buy pies, you know. It was a great thing. It was just a tough environment, but those trees bloomed, and they tried. They just kept doing what came natural to them, bearing fruit. Healthy trees naturally bear fruit. And Jesus is saying, this tree hasn't just done what it's naturally made to do. And as Christians, when we are rooted and grounded in Christ, when we are connected to the vine, Jesus Christ, we have what we need to bear good fruit. Those of us who are in a relationship with Jesus, we naturally bear because the Spirit is at work in our life. And Tim Keller tells us that if the Spirit is at work in your life, one of the evaluators is that you will be bearing good fruit. You will be bearing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. When we live with the idea that we have been forgiven, we forgive. When we live with the idea that we are loved and it's unmerited favor, we can love. When we live with peace with God in our relationship with Him and that we are honest with Him and we are trying to serve Him, we can live with peace with people. When we are anchored in Jesus, we can be patient, we can be good, we can be kind. We can be faithful and loyal because our confidence and our strength and our ability to bear good fruit is not found in ourselves, but is found in Him. And so we lean on Him to bear the fruit. And current events will bring anxiety and worry and depression and fear about tomorrow. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Because we lean on Jesus. There are all kinds of things to be stressed out over. There are all kinds of things to be depressed about. There are all kinds of things to be very concerned about in our culture. And we do what we can. And we are active in trying to eliminate injustice, trying to bring up things that laws that need to be brought forward so that good things can be done. But we as Christians, if we live in a state of forgiveness and forgiving, then we love. And we love unconditionally because we know we have been loved like this tree has been loved. Maybe we haven't loved as we should. And God gives us this next opportunity, this next 12 months, to love like Christ loved, to give like Christ gave, to do goodness and kindness like Christ has done goodness and kindness. I read some articles about this week about fruit and vegetables. Anybody have a good handle on what's a fruit and what's a vegetable? The more I read, the more confused I have become. Therefore, I will not begin to answer if this is a fruit or a vegetable, but I'm going to show you some pictures, and I would like for you to respond, you know, fruit, vegetable, okay? I'll call them out like that, and you just go, if I say fruit, you can raise a hand, or vegetable. If you want to work both arms like me to avoid, you know, any kind of shoulder problem you might have, work it out this morning, that would be great. Okay, so give me that first picture. Is that a fruit, or is it a vegetable? All right, most people are saying vegetable. The crazy thing about it, if it's popcorn, it's a fruit. Go figure, I know. That's what they said in the article. I don't necessarily agree with the article. But anyway, it is what it is, right? Here we go, next picture. Fruit? Yeah, vegetable? Okay, a few people, hold it on. It's a vegetable. I eat it like a vegetable. You know, yeah, okay, here we go. Some of you probably don't know what this is, but what? Fruit? Okay, a vegetable? Okay, well, you're really confused on that one. Well, anyway, it's got a seed inside. I think that makes it a fruit. But anyway, it's what makes guacamole, in case you've never looked at one of those things. All right, the next thing, fruit? Vegetable. Yeah, Brussels sprouts. Yeah, most people got that. Here we go, the next thing. Fruit? Vegetable? Don't like it? Those, yeah, if you mince them up real and put a lot of cheese on them, they're pretty good. All right, here we go. Next one. Fruit? A vegetable? Okay, pomegranate, you know? That's what that is. Now, here's something that's coming up at Starbucks. Fruit? A vegetable? Oh, there's mixed reviews in the house on what that is. I don't begin to tell everybody. But aren't you glad Jesus doesn't ask us to bear vegetables? But he asks us to bear fruit, right? He says, bear fruit. Fruit has some things, and I've mentioned one already, in that fruit is naturally a product of the plant that it's supposed to come from. Tree just says, I'm an apple tree, and therefore I'm going to bloom in the spring, and then I'm going to have apples, unless it snows on the 19th of May, and then I don't have many apples. But the tree did everything it was supposed to do, you know, to bear those apples. Healthy trees just naturally have fruit. We who are connected to Jesus, we are connected in the vine, we are rooted and grounded in His Word, we let His Spirit be alive in us, we just naturally bear fruit. Now, here's one thing about fruit, is that fruit doesn't directly benefit the plant that grows it. I think that's one misconception that we Christians have. You know, that the fruit, I'll have love and I'll have peace and all that kind of stuff. But the world benefits from us having the fruit of the Spirit alive in our life. Just like the fruit on a tree. An apple tree produces the apple. And really, the only thing the apple tree benefits from is if it would drop to the ground and no one would use it. And then it might fertilize the soil a little bit and some nutrients go back into the soil for the apple tree, right? But the fruit is really for the people around the fruit bearing. It's the people who would pick the apples and make the Thanksgiving pie. Yeah. It's the deer that would show up in your backyard and you knew they were there in the night because they left things that your dog liked to roll in the morning when you let it out. Yeah. The deer would like it, you know. Other animals, little squirrels and little rabbits would come and they'd eat that off the ground when those apples, and some of them would run up the tree to get some, you know? Those bees in the fall that come to those apple trees and they're just all around, you know, and you got to get them away because it's an attraction. Fruit in your life is an attraction because other people benefit from you bearing good fruit in your life. Good fruit in your life is an attraction to Jesus Christ. When we have peace in the middle of the storm, when we have joy when we should be sad, when we're doing good things, when we have cause to do the wrong thing, it's fruit in our life that shows that we are connected to something bigger than our own current event. We are connected to eternity through Jesus Christ. Fruit is this attraction that leads people to Jesus. And fruit carries this seed in it. It's the seed for the next generation. They say that an apple can have as many as 10 seeds inside. On average, they have about 7. Can you imagine every apple that fell from the tree? If the seeds were planted, how many apple trees there would be on earth? We would be consumed by apple trees if every seed came to fruition. But it has a seed planted for the next generation so that long after this apple tree is gone, there will be young apple trees growing up out of the earth that will bear apples for a next generation because the fruit of the Spirit was demonstrated. It was attractive, and that wasn't used fell to the ground and promoted its kind in more fruit-bearing trees. Are we bearing fruit in our life that's attracting people to the Savior? Is that our biggest goal this year? That we would attract someone to Jesus? Is that our biggest goal for our friends, for our family? for our moms, dads, aunts, and uncles? Is that our highest goal, that people would know Jesus? For in knowing Jesus, you answer eternal questions. Where will I spend eternity? In gaining a scholarship, you may determine where you'll go to college. In getting a raise, you may make your life a little easier. Getting a promotion, you may get a great new job. Something would be just awesome. But if you lead somebody to Jesus, you plant seed that will reap a harvest forever. Jesus said, these are terrible things. These injustices from the government, it's awful. This horrible natural disaster that's happened in Jerusalem with this building, that these people have died, that's terrible. We need to do what we can do to help alleviate those problems. But the big deal is, life is fragile, and one day we all stand before Jesus. All of us here and all of our friends and family will one day stand before Jesus. And what have you done with the Savior? He came, he died, he gave you a way to right relationship with God. Will today you repent? Will you accept him? Make him Lord of your life and follow him for the rest of your life. And then for those of us who believe, will it be the passion of our heart in our community that we will be vibrant church and that we will be alive and we will proclaim the good news of Jesus and we will bear good fruit in our lives, that we may attract all that we can to know the Savior? And may we plant the seed of God so that others in generations to come may know, find him, and live with us eternally in heaven someday. That's the focus of this little parable that I share. Can we pray? God, we thank you for your word and how it instructs us and it guides us back to those things which are more important, the big story, the big question. Do you know Jesus? That's the big question today. And for anyone here that doesn't know Jesus, I pray that they will repent. They'll confess their sin. They'll come to God. They'll see their need of a Savior. And they'll have that step of faith to step across the threshold and say, yes, I will follow Jesus. I will bear the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I will be connected to him. And then I pray that for all those of us who know that, Lord, we will pray more fervently over the next 12 months for those in our lives that don't know Christ. That we will reach out to meet people that we don't know yet. And may we pray, and may we bear good fruit. May we share Jesus so that they would know him too. Until the whole world knows, and the whole world celebrates Christ our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.